and welcome to another episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. I'm James.
And I'm Sarah.
And on this week's episode, we don't really have a topic, so we'll just do some catch up and see where things go. Maybe look at some Reddit questions and stuff like that. But first, Sarah, how's life?
I want to jump off a bridge. I'm not gonna, but I want to. Life is very lifelike right now. It's a little rough. How are you?
I'm good. Okay. I'm okay. I won't say that I'm good because I mean, I'm fine. I do have some exciting news. Something exciting to show you. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. I remember you said that there was something that you were going to show me, but you weren't going to show me until it came in or something like that.
Yes. So I did a thing and I.
OMG. We have sweatshirts. OMG.
So it's nothing crazy. It's just the Now About That Productions logo on the front left side of the sweatshirt.
I can now see that you're wearing it.
Yeah. And then
I didn't see it before.
Well, that's because I was trying to hide it so that you didn't see it.
Oh.
Whoops. And on the back, it is a Now About That Productions logo as well in the silver color. So before we finish today, I'm going to ask you what size you would like, and then I will send one to you. So you will have one for you as well.
Wow.
And for anyone listening, if you would like to email us and ask us how you can get one of these amazing sweatshirts that are pretty nice. I've been wearing it since I just got them a couple hours ago. And I put it on just to see if it fit all right and what it was like. And they're pretty nice. I mean, they're Hanes, so they're not like super, super expensive sweatshirts. And I don't plan on selling them or anything, at least not right now. But I thought it would be cool to have something that has the business name on it, at least.
We have merchandise, technically.
I mean, kind of technically, yeah.
That's awesome.
But that was the exciting thing that I told you about. I think it was 2 weeks ago now, or 1 week ago, maybe. One of the last couple episodes we talked about it, and I said I would show you whenever it got here, and it just came in today.
Love that.
So, Sarah, do you want to give us a life update? What's going on with you recently?
So, I failed my drug test, and my job offer got rescinded, and it sucks because they desperately, desperately want me to work with them, and they understand, like, I explained, you know, my whole cancer situation, the chronic nausea, all that, and they're like, we understand, and if we could overlook it, we would, but they invited me to reapply in 6 months. Or if I can get a hold of medical marijuana license, my understanding was that I could reapply sooner if I have a medical marijuana license. But anyway, it's not that they don't want me, because they do. We tried to like find a workaround. Like, they explained my whole situation to like upper management, upper HR, all that.
Yeah, and I think we kind of talk, and it doesn't make it any more, doesn't make it any less crappy, but we talked about it a little bit in the last episode, and it's probably because they work in the medical field technically, that because it is still a federal regulation, federal offense to pour marijuana, they have to go by what regulations they're required to follow. And like where I work, it is a regulation that they have to be able to pass a drug test because of working with like medical information and
right. And like, I get that and I understand, but I think that it's just marijuana and I'm not going to be showing up to work high.
Right.
Like, it's not like I'm, you know, anyway, like I understand. Anyway, the girl, she's not a girl, she's my age. The person who has been helping me out, her name's Devin. She's amazing. she literally, she felt so bad for me that she called her sister who works at a prep school and was just like, hey, this person's fantastic. Please give them a job.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
So I have been in communication with her sister about getting hired for that. In the meantime, I've been going to like a ton of interviews. I do have to tell you a funny story that happened at this interview yesterday. I think you'll get a kick out of it. So this, I know that I've talked about this before, but Indeed fucking sucks because there's a lot of scams on there. There's a lot of scams on LinkedIn as well. But it's pretty bad on Indeed.
Yeah. And I think we've covered this topic before in another podcast where the same, well, it was when that thing happened to you when you were here.
Yeah.
Somebody sent you an offer letter and like sent you a check, a copy of a check that's and said deposit this into your account, and whenever you send like and then use this to buy your the stuff for like your computer and all the stuff that you need for your office, and then and it was like a bonus. Yeah. So we talked about it. So go ahead.
This was a little different in that it was a legitimate business, but they lied about what the job was.
Oh.
So I went to the job said that it was an appointment setting position, where I would be like calling, like I'd be doing warm calls. Which in sales, a warm call is where you already have some information. The person that you're calling has already expressed an interest in what you're trying to sell, you know, that kind of thing. So I would just be following up on those warm leads by calling people, setting appointments for them, reviewing emails, all that other information, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I can do that. No problem. I hate cold calling. So I was just like, well, if it's warm leads, people who are already interested, that's fine. I can do that. So I go, you know, first of all, they were 8 minutes late calling me back for my appointment time, which any time that someone like an interviewer calls me back late, that's already a mark against you.
Yeah.
Because you expect me to be there early on time. And if you can't be bothered to be on time, then I can't be bothered to do the job.
Yeah. It's definitely not a good look for a potential employer to be late to an interview.
Right. Like, I know stuff happens, whatever, but that was not the case. Anyway, second hit against it, it was a group interview. So not only were they 8 minutes late calling me back, they were 8 minutes late calling everybody else who was there with me back.
Oh, it was like you and people?
It was me and other people. I've never been part of a group interview before.
I can't remember who was talking about it, but it was, I think it might have been on the HR Besties podcast where they were talking about somebody showing up for an interview, and then all of a sudden it was they weren't told that it was a group interview. All of a sudden it was just a bunch of people showed up at the same time, and they were like, we're just going to take you all at the same time and do this interview. And the person was like, I was not told that this was a group interview, and I'm not staying for that because that's not what I signed up for and that's not what I was told.
Yeah, I was already like, okay, you have to tell somebody if we're going to be in a group interview.
No.
But I was like, okay, all right, you know, I'm just gonna give it a chance, whatever. So we all go back there. There's like five or six of us. We all go back there. I'm the only girl. Well, femme, which was also like awkward. But the guy starts saying, oh yeah, you know, let me tell you a little bit about the job. This is a canvassing position where you're gonna go door to door. And I said, I'm sorry, that is not what I applied for. So I'm gonna leave.
Yeah.
And then I got up and I left because that had nothing to do with what I applied for. So I left. But here's the funny part of this story. I leave the interview. I'm heading to my car. I'm standing by my car. I'm looking at my phone because I'm like frustrated. I'm like, I was texting my Polycule group chat. And this guy who was also in the interview, he comes out like a couple minutes after me, and he just happened to be parked next to me. And like, he says, hey, you know, gets in his car, and he's just like, rolls down his window, and he's just like, I just wanted to let you know that I think you're really beautiful, and can I get your number?
Watch. It turns out to be one of the salespeople and they message you and say, hey, we're looking for you to do. Would you like to invest or would you like to buy this?
No, I was like, I looked at him and I was just like, I'm so sorry. You're very cute, but I'm a lesbian. And he was just like, oh, okay. That's cool. That's cool. He's just like, just not into dudes at all, huh? And I was like, no, not really. You're super cute and I appreciate it. I'm flattered, but yeah, no, I'm sorry. I'm
funny.
Only for women. And he's like, that's all good. You have a great rest of your day.
Yeah. So I will say, kind of being on the other side of being like being the interviewer, I've never been a part of where it's like multiple people that are being interviewed in the same room, but I've been a part of like a panel interview where it's me and one or two other people interviewing one person. And that can be kind of intimidating too.
No, that is intimidating. It wasn't that it was intimidating being in a group interview so much as it was unexpected.
Yeah.
And then the job was literally nothing related to what I applied for.
Yeah. So Ryan, I think something similar happened, not the whole interview portion of it, but something similar happened with Ryan where he applied for a job for... it was like, oh gosh, solar panels. He was like going to be selling people or signing people up for solar panels.
Yeah.
But it was the same type of thing where it was like warm calling where they had already signed up for some information and he was just calling them back and then going to meet them. And he was like, he went on some trainings and like he was there for, I think, a couple weeks or a week or so. And he went on some training calls with them. And then one time, like it was his time to go ride with someone and like do the sales portion of it and watch them how they do like the sales portion of it and signing up. And he was saying it was very much like, I don't know if you've seen this movie, Glengarry Glen Ross.
I haven't, but I've heard of it.
So it's kind of like when you were talking about what you were doing, it's kind of the same thing where they've gotten the information and they're trying to sell them on like I think it's like a timeshare in a vacation home or something.
That sounds
fine. So it's kind of the same thing. And he was like, it was like that. And I was like, I do not do this. And the person that he was with was like really pressuring this person to sign up to get these done. And he was like, it's not going to cost you anything. We just need to have your information and have your signature on this saying that it's okay for us to for this company to install these things. And all you have to do is let us do it. And he was like, that's not what I was told this was. And that's not what I'm interested in because it's very skeezy and like it feels disgusting having like trying to pressure someone into doing something that when they say no, they don't want to do. And I don't feel like I will be good at doing that.
Yeah. I'm also not I'm not a good salesperson in that if you tell me no, it's weird, but my mother always told me that when somebody tells you no, that means no. You don't keep begging. You don't keep asking. You know, if somebody says no, that means no.
Yeah.
And so I took that lesson very literally, probably because of the autism. And I'm terrible at sales because if somebody, if I have explained everything to somebody and then they're still like, nah, I'm good. I'm like, cool. I'm good too. Like, I'm not pressuring anybody. But the good news is that I put in like a ton of applications to a bunch of different places. I had an interview today that turned into an onboarding. It's a delivery job. Its base pay is $13 an hour, but I get to keep all my tips. And they do all, and they pay 10 cents per mile plus, they take, it's a W-2 position rather than a 1099 position, which is a lot easier on me. Cause that means I don't have to worry about taking out the taxes. I don't have to worry about keeping track of my mileage, all that jazz. They take care of that for me. And it pays weekly, which is also good. And then I have another job interview with Kohl's. I don't care to say that. I've worked for Kohl's. If I get hired, this would be my fourth time working for Kohl's.
Yeah.
They were my first real job. And I don't actually have any complaints about the company itself. All the complaints that I had previously were management related. But the reason that I ended up leaving each time was not because of management, but because I had another better job opportunity.
Yeah.
So, I would recommend working for Kohl's if you're in desperate need, because they do pay weekly. And most Kohl's now pay more than they did when I first started. So yeah. It's $13 an hour now.
Well, it's also you're in Texas, so that might be part of it as well.
Yeah, I think the ones here in Texas start minimum 13.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because again, like, I'm only looking at this as a temporary thing for the next few months, just so I have money coming in, because obviously speaking, I have to be able to pay my bills.
Speaking of minimum, did you see the thing in California where they raised the minimum wage for fast food workers to $20 an hour?
I did not. That's awesome.
And I'm surprised you haven't, because it's been a lot of like Republicans posting, how much it's going to cost us to get a burger now at McDonald's. It's like,
bro,
are you McDonald's in California?
Already raised their prices.
Yeah, that was the other thing. It was like everybody keeps saying that now it's going to cost an arm and a leg to get a burger from McDonald's. And it's like, guess what? The prices were already going up. If you were more concerned and annoyed about the fact that someone that's working at the restaurant is getting paid $20 an hour, and you're not as concerned about the fact that the person that the CEO makes $3,000 an hour, or if not more, based on what they do, then there's a problem with what you're doing.
To be brutally honest, I have been in the depths of depression since having my job offer rescinded. So I've not been doing really anything other than just trying to find another job.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Well, not the whole depression thing, because that sucks. But they're trying to find something new. It sucks. And I was worried about it whenever you said it was a drug screen, and then the reason that it was like the type of job it was, I was kind of already worried that if it came back that you had tested positive for marijuana, then they weren't going to be able to hire you because of the job, the line of work that they do.
Yeah. I guess this was naive on my part. In that I thought that by being upfront and honest about the situation was going to change anything.
Yeah. And I mean, you have to look at it this way. It kind of did, because then the person that you were working that was kind of helping you gave you a connection to something else.
That's true. And don't get me wrong, I'm extremely grateful for Devin. She's been amazing through the whole process. And she has maintained to me that she absolutely wants to work with me. She thinks I would be an amazing person for this position.
Yeah.
And that if we can figure out a way to make it work, she wants me. Like, she's made that absolutely clear. She literally told me, if you need anything, text me, like, literally anytime. I want to help as much as I can.
Yeah.
So it's more just a matter of reminding myself that this is just a bump in the road. This is not the end of the world. And that...
What's the saying? One door closes, another one opens.
Ugh. Yeah, essentially.
Let go and let God.
Ew. All right.
Let go and let God. As Trixie said, six in one hand, half a dozen in the other.
Lord have mercy.
Jesus.
Speaking of being gay, though, it was so funny. I'm also gay. Hush you. Anyway, so at my interview today, right, I was already moved over to like the onboarding stuff. And the woman who was interviewing me, she was like, hey, do you care if I grab my other interviewee and go ahead and get started on their interview while you're doing your onboarding paperwork? And I was just like, yeah, that's totally fine. Which, BTW, I got paid today for my onboarding paperwork.
Oh, that's nice.
Like, it counted. Which was great. That was fantastic. But anyway, so the other girl comes in, she's interviewing, and I'm over here and I'm just like, this is another member of the Alphabet Mafia. So she also got the job. So we're sitting there, we're doing our onboarding paperwork together. And the interviewer had left the room for a moment. She's like, I'll be right back, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I look over at her and I'm just like, hey, are you? And I did the hand thing. And she's just like, yeah, are you? And I was like, yeah. And she's just like, yes. So we're both just like, ah, yes, two gay femmes chilling out.
So it's a delivery position? Like,
it is a delivery position.
Like, you'll be delivering what? Like, packages or?
It will be food delivery. So the company itself works with the DoorDash platform for deliveries. But basically what happens is they are able to have a deal with DoorDash where I wouldn't be able to deliver for DoorDash as a 1099 because I would be a W-2. But essentially it guarantees me that I get deliveries.
Oh, okay.
It essentially means that the people who are employed with the company that I'm working for now, they get first dibs on deliveries that come through, and then whatever else, you know, that we don't have enough people for, that's trickles over to the 1099. But it also works in reverse. If there's a 1099 that doesn't want to take a particular delivery for whatever reason, then it gets pushed to us and we take it.
Oh, that's nice.
So the only downside really is that it's all downtown.
Oh yeah, it's probably crazy busy.
Yeah, so like the good news is I have guaranteed $13 an hour, regardless of whether or not, like, if for some reason I don't get as many deliveries in a day, I'm still getting paid. But yeah, I have to deal with people.
I wonder if it's the same type of thing where the people that work at, like sometimes I order stuff from this place called Dash Mart where I don't know what it is. I have no idea. I'm assuming like the way that I envision it, it's just like a giant, maybe not a giant warehouse, but like a warehouse that has like shelves and a bunch of stuff that is like just food related. Mm-hmm. And it's like somewhere where you can get like candy and like freezer food and stuff like that. And they're employed by the people that are there kind of employed by DoorDash, I'm assuming. I mean, I know it's not the same because you're not employed by DoorDash.
Right. It's a company that works with DoorDash, yeah, and uses the DoorDash platform. But that's what you're talking about sounds a lot like GoPuff.
Yeah.
Which I also signed up to do, but then never ended up doing because it's just not super popular in my area.
Yeah. I know GoPuff was an option on DoorDash at some point in Bloomington.
Yes.
Oh, no, maybe it was in, Bloomington or I might've been thinking also of in California.
I think it was available in Bloomington. It's been a while since I lived in Bloomington. I don't remember.
We're not sponsored by DoorDash, GoPuff or any of the other things that we're talking about. I mean, if they do want to sponsor us, we don't have very many listeners, but we will definitely take some benefits from using DoorDash because I use them all the time.
Yeah. Hey, there you go.
I do, however, get a lot of issues and they give me money back most of the time because
that was my issue as well.
I mean, a lot of the time, and it's not the DoorDash people's fault. It's the company, like the restaurant. They either don't send me something that I ordered or they substitute something without asking me first. And this thing that they substitute isn't the same, and it wouldn't have cost the same if I would have ordered it. And it's like, that's not how this works.
Right. I'm like, at that point, just don't leave it off the order.
It's like, just call me and say, hey, we don't have this. Is it okay to substitute this? Mm-hmm. And I would say, no, just leave it off the order. Or I would say, you can substitute it, but give me two of those because that would be what it would cost if I were to order it correctly.
Right. Yeah, I'm just out here. I applied to every library job in like five or six cities in and around my area.
No.
Like every library job. Because I was like, if I'm not going to be able to get this other job, I might as well get a job doing something related to my fucking degree.
Yeah. Do they have a lot in your area? And how long have the listings been out?
So I make it a policy to not apply to listings that have been out for longer than a week.
Okay, that's a good way.
Just because I feel like if it's been out for longer than a week, that's a problem with them, not a problem with the people that they're interviewing.
It could be one or two things. It could be that there's a problem with them or they've already filled the position, but they haven't closed the rec out yet. That happens a lot where it's like, oh, you applied for this job. It was still on our job board or whatever, wherever you saw it, but it's just because we hadn't closed it out yet, or we paid for it to be there for a certain amount of time and they didn't take it down because we paid for it to be there for that long.
Right.
But we had filled the position like a week after we posted it.
Yeah, I make it a policy. I don't apply to jobs that have been posted for longer than a week.
Yeah.
And then part of the problem is that you have to go through the city websites to be able to apply for these library jobs. And the city websites are just not very user-friendly.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, I'm applying for these jobs, but, you know, you never hear back. Or at least I've never heard back. Actually, I take that back. I did hear back today, but that's the first time that I've heard back from one of these positions that I've applied to.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Speaking of applying for a position and never hearing back. So I did hear, we talked about it where I heard back from Purdue Global, and they basically said that they had already filled the position, blah, blah, blah. But they didn't, like, it didn't, they didn't say no, but they didn't say, they said, I mean, they did say no, but they didn't say it wasn't because I wasn't a fit or anything like that. They had already filled the position. So I responded and asked if they could give me any like feedback onto like my resume or anything like that. Haven't heard anything from them. So that's frustrating, but I mean, whatever. And I mean, it's no ill will toward them, because obviously I like Purdue Global because I'm going back to finish or to do my doctorate with them.
Right. So,
which starts next week.
Oof.
The 17th. Yeah. And my first class is, let me tell you what my first class is. It is called Trends, Patterns, and Ethical Issues That Impact Education.
Nice. I withdrew from my classes. Yep. Because I'm struggling. But yeah, so the good news is I don't have to pay them anything back. I found that out.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I have to finish filling out these forms for removing my W's off of my transcript, since I'm leaving school right now because of mental health issues.
Yeah.
So I'm just waiting on the letter from my doctor so that I can turn everything in.
So here are the course details of the class that I'm going to be doing. It says Trends, Patterns, and Ethical Issues That Impact Education. During this course, you will analyze trends, patterns, and ethical issues that impact educational settings. You will design innovative solutions that respond to challenges in professional practice.
Wow.
And then the next one is Educational Systems. During this course, you will analyze the historical and current context in which educational systems operate. You will examine factors that impact the various roles and functions within educational systems and investigate systems thinking as it applies to policy and organizational change. Additionally, you will analyze educational systems and design a plan for organizational change. A lot of analyzing, which, I mean, it makes sense because you're like, a doctorate is basically just an analysis on something that you're like, that's what the dissertation is. You're doing research on your topic and then providing like information or input into making it, changing it or adding something to it to make it better. So we'll see how that goes. I'm excited, but also nervous, because while the instructional design and technology training or master's was easy because I've been doing it for the past 8 years, this will be a little bit more challenging because I haven't really been involved in the educational system. And that's like the main focus of it anyway. So we'll see.
That makes sense. You're going to do great, though. Like, you're pretty awesome. So
hopefully. Well, not the awesome part. I know that's true, but the hopefully I'll do great.
Say, that part. You don't
that
have
part.
To.
Everybody believes, even if they don't like me, they believe that I'm awesome.
True.
I don't know very many people that don't like me. I mean, there might be people out there, but then again, it goes back to the thing that it's like, that's not my problem. That's yours.
Yeah.
If you don't like me, there's probably something wrong with you, because I'm a pretty amazing person. Sarah didn't say anything.
I nodded, though.
But the listeners can't hear that. Oh, before we jump into the Reddit stuff, by the way, so we are going to move into some Reddits. I sent some to Sarah.
And this first one, I'm already.
I know.
What the fuck?
And that's why I picked it. I was like, ooh, this is funny. I remember when I talked about submitting our podcast to one of the like a listening party thing for the Lit Arts RI.
Yeah.
I talked about it. So I found out that we did not get chosen for one of the five that were that are involved in the listening party, but I was invited to attend, and I can listen. Like, we're going to be listening to the podcast, one of their podcasts, like episodes or part of their episode, and then the person that is in charge of it or is run, like, is the moderator of it, is going to be like giving feedback and stuff. And then it's also just a chance for me to get in and network with some other podcasters. So that is next Saturday.
Woo! That's gonna be exciting.
So I will be doing that on the 20th at Lit Arts RI, which I've been there. I've only been there once, but it's a pretty nice place, and it's a really cool area, and they do a lot of stuff. And if I didn't decide to move into my doctorate, I might have wanted to see about volunteering there. I had talked about it on here before, but I'll probably be too crazy busy with my doctorate stuff to do anything else. And then I had a call earlier today where we were planning for the Boston Pride March, because Boston Scientific purchased some spots in the Boston Pride March, and they're renting a truck. So people, like, somebody's going to be driving the truck, and then people are going to be like in the back of it. I probably won't be either because I don't want to. But I was like, what are we doing with the car? Are we like deck what? Because we don't have to rent one. We could just use mine. I mean, I don't care to provide mine for, and it's the Boston Scientific blue. And it also, it totally purely coincidentally is the dark blue that is kind of associated with Boston Scientific. And then it's also electric, so it like can talk to the fact that Boston Scientific is a very green company, and their goal is to go zero waste by 2030. So I was like, it could be an option. They were like, well, I think we'd like the idea of people being able to stand in the back or sit in the bride in the back of it, and then we prefer a truck. And it's like, okay, whatever, that's fine.
Okay.
Well, you want to jump into some of these interesting, I pulled five, so I don't know why I pulled five. I just randomly read through some of them and then opened them up. So do you want to read through the first one, or do you want to read through?
Yes, I'll read through the first one. Oh my God. All right. This comes from the r/advice column. It's from 3 hours ago. So this is brand new.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. Caught my son masturbating to a picture of my wife, his stepmom. Please give me any advice. My son is 15 and he's been an overall easy kid. No major problems, is a good student, not a troublemaker, etc. Then the night before last, I woke up in the middle of the night and went downstairs to get a drink. I noticed the downstairs bathroom door was ajar with the light on, which is also the bathroom closest to my son's room. I went in to turn off the light, assuming it had just been left on by accident. However, I didn't realize until it was too late, my son was in there with one hand holding an iPad and the other masturbating. On the iPad screen was a picture of my wife in Cabo in her bikini. I immediately turned around and walked out while mumbling sorry or something similar. My son and I have been avoiding each other since. I haven't hardly said a word to him, and vice versa, much less have I mentioned it to my wife. What do I do? How do I talk to him about this? And should I speak to my wife about it? She's been in the picture since he was 8 years old and has always been a child and parent type of relationship. He doesn't call her mom, but they are close and talk to each other like mother and son would. This is screwing with my head and makes me wonder if there's something wrong with my son. I feel shaken. And I agree with the first commenter who said little dude might be watching too much porn and has some stepmother kink. But I also agree with the secondary person who said, when my son was 15, I found his search history. Needless to say, I was concerned about some of his choices. I did the following. One, I had a talk with him about how porn was unrealistic for both males and females. Got him some magazines that were sensual but not demeaning towards females, and taught him how to do safe search and how to delete browser history. He's just being a normal kid. Use it as a teaching moment.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. That's a little weird. But also, you have to, I hate to say this, but what's his name? Freud was right about some things.
Yeah.
It's kind of the way that it works for everybody, okay? As a little kid, your first model for what you are attracted to is going to be your parents. Like, and it's not that you're attracted to your parents in a sexual way, it's that you're attracted to they're your parents, they care about you, they love you, hopefully. So that's where that attraction comes from. Oh, I want to be with somebody who's similar to my mom because my mom is like this, blah, blah, blah. You know, so that part is kind of normal. I think it's a little weird that he's actively masturbating to pictures of her. But again, when you're 15, there's a lot of weird hormone shifts going on. So you do some things that are kind of weird and gross. So yeah. I agree with the second person that this is a teachable moment where he can have a conversation with his son about like, hey, that's not appropriate. But let me, you know, help you understand better.
Yeah, that's not true. I haven't experienced this like with a child, but it's been not, and my father has never like walked in on me in the act of masturbating. That would be very awkward. However, I did have some movies that he did find at one point, and he was like, he was just like, I don't care if that's what you're into, but just hide them better.
Yeah, no, I don't. Okay, it's easier for me to get away with masturbation because I don't have a penis.
There's not, I was gonna say there's nothing to clean up, but maybe, I don't know.
Sometimes, but yeah. The main thing is that I don't have something that stands up to attention.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Which can be seen.
Yeah.
So I have had my mother walk in on me, but I wasn't masturbating to something. I was just using my imagination, and luckily, because I was under the covers, she didn't see Jack. She thought I was asleep.
Yeah, I mean, I think the two have some pretty, the two that are, that responded have some pretty good advice, and it makes sense. And it does kind of seem like it's something that it just have a conversation with him. He's 15. It's going to probably happen again. It is weird again that it is his stepmom and she's been in his life for, what is that, 7 years? Cause he's 15 and it was at 8. Yeah. It's almost half of his life. But I mean, it's probably just what was available. I don't know if like they have certain things on their iPad or it wasn't his iPad. So he didn't want to go searching and that's just what he found available.
Right.
And maybe he doesn't even look at her head. He just zooms in on the body, which is still kind of weird, but
still not great, but you know, somebody, I did see another comment that I agreed with, where somebody said, I want to stress how important it is for you to have the conversation of why it's inappropriate that he's doing it specifically to your wife.
Yeah.
There's certain relationships that shouldn't be allowed due to power dynamics. So just making sure you're not enabling him to form those connections in life, which could potentially lead to him being in danger. After all, he's still a minor. And that is true as well, in that if, like, it's perfectly fine to have fantasies, okay? And like, oh, fantasizing about an older woman, like stepmom type situation, fine, you know, whatever. But it's not okay to act out on that.
Yeah.
And it's not something that he, at 15, you're extremely vulnerable because you're just figuring out sexuality to begin with. So it's very important to impress upon him that type of relationship dynamic, especially at his age, is inappropriate and not something that he should actively be going after.
Yeah, it's never a comfortable conversation to have with your child. But then again, it's like if you don't have that conversation with them, it can lead to worse things in the future. So if you don't want your school doing it, which is a lot of like what the feedback that people give is, I want to tell my school what can and can't be taught to my child, but then it's like, but then you have to teach it to them some other way. So yeah. Figure out a good, comfortable way to do it. Like, I don't know if you need to look up YouTube videos that explain it and talk to him about it and then like discuss, maybe put on some YouTube videos where a father is talking to his son about it as well, and then kind of break down with him, which is very uncomfortable anyways. It's going to be an uncomfortable conversation no matter what. It's just, you need to have the conversation. That's, you're a parent. It's your responsibility to have those uncomfortable conversations. no matter what, because that's your job as a parent. So just do it. Get over it.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, if you're going to prevent other people from teaching your kids, then you have to make sure you're the one who's doing it.
Yeah. And a 15-minute conversation that's super uncomfortable will help drastically whenever the kid grows up and gets older. Yeah. Because 15 minutes could save like a lifetime of heartache going forward, it's or issues true. That he could run into.
It's true.
So take 15 minutes, have the conversation about your son, about why it's inappropriate and what an appropriate relationship would look like at his age. And then break down what he should do and what he should maybe look into or do in the future. All right, we'll move on to the next one. So the next one is an am I the asshole? And it's am I the asshole for telling my father I do know that? I do know about that. I, female 28, am a wildlife biologist. I have a master's degree in wildlife conservation and am hoping to go for my doctorate soon. I have worked in the field since I was 16 and been very passionate about it. When visiting my family recently for Easter, my mom asked me to tell the family a little about my work. I was very excited to talk about my career research, about my current research. Here's where the issues come in though. My father, male 60, would respond to almost everything I said that, I don't know about that. At first I tried to ignore it, but it just didn't stop. Eventually I responded, well, I do, even the 2 degrees and all. Given the 2 degrees and all. I responded in a light, playful tone, but he did not take it well at all. He immediately accused me of being disrespectful. I responded, I'm sorry, but it's disrespectful of you to insult that you know more than me. I do about my field. Dinner got pretty quiet after that. I finished the meal, helped with the dishes, and said goodbye before leaving. But on the ride home, I got a phone call from my mother asking me why I felt the need to aggravate my father and why I had to talk back. I'm a 28-year-old professional. This feels insane to me. Am I the asshole? And then there is an edit because this was from a day ago. So there's been a bunch of responses, and Reddit has deemed this person as not the asshole. And the edit says, my goodness, wow, that's a lot of comments. I didn't have it in me to respond to all of them. I don't have it in me to respond to all of them with life being so busy right now, but thank you. So, I mean, to me, it doesn't sound, could she have probably approached the situation in a better manner? Probably yes. But it is kind of rude for the father to say, I don't know. At first, what did he say?
He just comes saying, I don't know about that. And like, first of all, does the father have a degree in this? Is he working in this field? Like, because to me, it doesn't sound like he is. So why is he speaking on something he actually knows nothing about?
And that's part of the issue that I have maybe with some of these is you can't, like, we don't know the tone that he said that in. And maybe he was not responding to, she said something that she thought like that was her opinion. And he said, oh, well, I don't know about that.
But like, she said that he was doing it almost everything she said.
Yeah.
And like, and she tried to ignore him. So first of all, I need to know why this man feels like he needs to stomp all over his daughter's excitement.
Because I wonder that's a big difference, 28 and 60.
I mean,
so he was,
hold on, wait, if I did the math correctly in my head, which I probably didn't,
32.
Yeah, he was 32. So
I guess that's not crazy. I mean, it would be today because most people aren't having children until, well, yeah, no, that's not bad. That makes sense.
I was gonna say my dad was 38 when I was born.
Yeah, but your dad was old.
Yeah, he was 38. Like, old. My mom was 30 when she had me. So
I was, how old was I? I'm 35 and my dad will be 60. So he was 25.
Dang.
No, he'll be 64.
I was going to say, wait, because he's 2 years younger than my mom and my mom's going to be 66.
So yeah, he'll be 64. So I guess
he was 29.
That's not crazy. I mean, it does kind of seem like he's maybe a little bit immature for his age. And it is a little bit disrespectful to kind of say that. And
I would say it's more than a little disrespectful. Like, yeah. It's like once or twice. Okay, sure. But like everything that she's saying, and then also immediately being shitty about it and saying she's being disrespectful when she responded in a light, playful tone.
No.
Like that's That's gross. Why is this man stomping all over his daughter's enthusiasm?
I also kind of wonder where they live. She's a marine biologist, so I would assume it's probably somewhere close to the water.
Well, unless she's a wildlife biologist.
Wildlife conservation, yeah.
So, but it's just like, if he doesn't have the same education, why is he trying to talk about it like he's an expert?
Yeah.
But I mean, granted, that's pretty typical AMAP behavior, at least in my experience as a femme.
And there's a moderator that said something about the OP has offered the following explanation for why they think they might be the asshole. I may be the asshole because I was unable to ignore my father's behavior, potentially ruining the night instead of choosing not to take it personally.
Yeah, but that's not her responsibility. It's not her responsibility to keep everybody comfortable and like keep herself uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like if somebody's being a jerk to you, which he obviously was, call him out on it.
Yeah. And then one of the respondents says, not the asshole. At first you use a playful tone, so you weren't confronting him in front of other people. He was being disrespectful to you to start with. And then ask, is this a pattern with him? And she said, unfortunately, yes, which is why it's so hard to just ignore it, as my mother suggests. So it kind of sounds like maybe he doesn't take her, because she's been doing it since she was 16, he takes it as a hobby and not like an actual job, so he doesn't take it seriously, and that's just the way that his mind is. It might be enough, like maybe have him come and see what you do for a day and watch you actually work and see what changes you're working on and what your research is. Because I know my dad kind of, it's not that he didn't take me seriously, it's just that he didn't, I don't think he realized until he actually went through the new hire orientation, like what I do at my job. And then like once he came and saw me working and he like talked to people about me, and like everyone that like he worked with or worked around was always asking him how I was and say that they really enjoyed working with me and like all this stuff. And he was like, it took that and seeing that in my like at where I work for him to kind of take it seriously and realize that I'm not his baby anymore. I'm a grown adult and I'm good at what I do. So that might be something. I mean,
but like, I feel like I understand the whole mentality of, oh, that's my baby. Like that's my child. But you have to recognize, like, just because that's your child doesn't mean that you get to be shitty to them.
Yeah.
Like we grow up. That's what happens. It's an unfortunate byproduct of being born.
And it's kind of the same thing. It's like, your child grows up. It's your job to understand and be there for them and listen to them and listen to what they've learned. Because newsflash, they might teach you something that's interesting or that's funny that you didn't know. So yeah, I don't think this person's the asshole either. But I mean, I think there's a way to disarm the situation that would be a little less confrontational, even though you did say it in a lighthearted, fun playing way. There could be a potentially way to disarm it differently. And again, I would say maybe show him, like have him come to your job and see what you do, and he can see kind of what you do for a day. And that might kind of cement the fact that, oh, she really does know what she's doing.
Maybe.
Or he could just be a dick.
I think he's just a dick personally, but because my father would never. But anyway, I did want to say this made me laugh. It's somebody had posted a response. One of the comments had said, do it back to him, but in ways that don't make any sense. And then at the very end said, oh, or don't, I'm an asshole. And this person responded with the passive aggressiveness made me laugh. Are you by chance from the Midwest?
That's exactly what I was going to say, because it kind of sounds like something that a Midwest family or a Midwest father would do, because for some reason, the mentality of that age group is, oh, women, unfortunately, don't know anything. So they think, especially like fathers, they think they always know more than their children.
The good news is my father was from Maine, so he didn't have that.
They think they always know more than their children, especially when it's a father and daughter situation.
Yes, correct.
It's unfortunate.
My favorite thing is somebody said, is pettiness a theme in the Midwest? And
it is.
Said, more like the regional language than a theme.
It's a dialect that we know very well.
It is a dialect that we know very well. Somebody said Midwesterner can confirm. And then this person said Midwest transplant. I don't know about that. And the person said sarcasm is also strong.
It's the drag race thing. It's we don't get gorgeous. We don't get even. We get drop dead gorgeous. It's we don't get even. We get petty.
And it's true. I never realized just how petty we can be in the Midwest. But then I started talking about some of the things that people will do. And I was just like, oh, no, we're real. We're real petty. Okay, got it.
So I have this thing, and it's a story about being petty that's going on right now. I have been asking for over a week and a half now for information from the supervisors. And I've emailed multiple times and asked for the information multiple times, and there's still this one supervisor that nothing, they never answer me. And I'm like, what is going on? Why aren't you answering me? And so I'm like, if this person asks me to do something, I'm just not going to do it for them until they answer me about something that I've asked for weeks now. So that's petty. That's me being petty.
Yeah, super fair. All right. This next one is from 3 days ago, and it's, am I the asshole for letting my little brother wear a dress to my wedding? Which I'm just going to automatically say, no. Anyway, so I, 29 male, have just got married to a woman, wife, 28 female, that I really loved. Oof. Not so much anymore. And our wedding went super great, besides there was a sudden problem. Me and my then fiance let my brother, 22 male, wear a dress to our wedding. He's very feminine. He asked if it was okay, but also said if it wasn't, he would understand. I asked my fiance, and she was so delighted. Her and my brother were good friends, spending their time together doing things like going shopping, getting nails and hair done, other stuff. My brother has always been feminine, short, has long hair, wears makeup, and overall looks like a girl. He asked if he could bring his boyfriend, but we didn't have much space and only limited seats, so we said no. My brother and his boyfriend were all fine. 3 days before the wedding, my brother, our sister, and my fiance went dress shopping. They picked out a beautiful blue dress, and my fiance kept talking about how gorgeous he was. Now, the wedding was 2 days ago. Fuck. All right. He's only been married for 2 days. And now the wedding was 2 days ago and everyone showed up in their outfit, including my brother. He was pretty, looked like a girl, and didn't stand out at all. The wedding went smoothly, but I noticed my fiance, or now wife, had a weird look on her face. I asked if there was a problem. She said no. After the wedding, my mother-in-law asked me why the fuck my brother had worn a dress. I said me and fiance had let him, but she said my fiance had told them she didn't have a say at all. My brother even had a suit ready if he wasn't allowed to wear a dress. I said she had agreed, but my mother-in-law called me an asshole for deciding. I've talked with my wife, but she doesn't answer the question why she lied. Her brothers, sisters, and cousins have been sending me and my brother angry messages. I don't know what to do. They all call me an asshole, but this was also my wife's decision. She never texted him or called him not to wear it. But if she had, I know he wouldn't have come in it. So am I the potential asshole letting my brother wear a dress? I'm so confused. Edit. I've told my fiance that if she doesn't give me an answer, I will file for divorce. I'm so confused and my brother feels so bad. Edit. Additional edit. To all this confused, my brother said he wanted to ask to wear a dress because I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable. Also, my brother has kind of long hair. He looks like our sister, his twin. If people didn't know he was a guy, then he would just look like a second sister. All the attention was on me, the groom, and my wife, the bride. I don't think people gave much attention to my brother than the usual "you look pretty," like you would compliment one of the girls. And then there's an update with a link. So first update. Hello everyone, here's a small update. I've talked with my wife and asked why she lied. She gave me the answer that her parents asked and she felt like they were being judgmental, so she lied. I also asked why she put the blame on me and she said it was easier. I told her to tell her parents or I would, and also send pictures of her going shopping with my brother. Later, I got a call from many on my wife's side saying they were sorry. They also apologized to my little brother. My brother said he's willing to forgive her, but I'm not sure I am yet. If he will forgive her, then I'll let him. He's an adult. My brother still feels bad, saying he should have just worn the suit. He has also read my post here. I still don't know what to do. I'm not divorcing, annulling, or whatever my wife. I want it to work out. I love her, but the thought of her being so easy to blame me can't get out of my head. I'm gonna talk to her again tomorrow and I'll update you guys soon. Second update. Hello again. I talked to my wife today. We talked about what had happened and I found out her family had a history of being homophobic. She doesn't talk to one of her brothers because he's gay and her parents would scold her if she did. I talked about getting marriage counseling. She agreed. She's apologized to my brother in person now and they gave each other a big hug. She said her parents had always badmouthed my brother and myself, and every time she would interfere, they would shut her down. She now says she will cut them off if they don't respect her new family. They don't have to like us, but be respectful. I will try and have it work out, and so does she. Thanks to everyone who were supporting. Someone said I was the asshole. Others said it was my wife or her family. Some even came after my brother, but this is none of his fault. I want it to work, and my brother wants me to stay with her because she has always been nice to me and him.
Well, that took a turn.
That's
My only concern, my only problem is, how long were they dating before they decided to get married? And how had he not seen or understood that this was behavior that they had established in the past?
Right.
It's like, I'm how did he not know that she had a gay brother that her family didn't talk to anymore and that she would get like scolded if she tried to talk to him? How did you not know that?
Yeah.
That's very strange.
And I agree with the people who are saying that his wife is a coward for not standing by what she did.
Yeah.
Not standing by the brother-in-law.
Like, I get it. She's not like that. She doesn't think the same way. And she would like to she enjoyed going with his brother and doing things with his brother and discussing, like, she was okay with it. And the fact that, like, her family isn't, she felt blindsided. It's like, well, then the issue is not the wife or the brother or the groom. It's her family that's the issue. It's like, first of all, it's their wedding day. Why are you causing a big fuss about something that has nothing to do with you if she's fine with it?
Right. But the fact that she lied and said she wasn't fine with it.
Yeah, said she didn't have a choice. And it was like,
I'm like, you're starting off your brand new marriage that way.
It is weird that they're 2 days into a marriage and they're already looking at counseling. I think it's good that they're looking into counseling, but it's that's not a good way to start a marriage.
Yeah, this is a huge red flag to me. And like, I understand the, oh God, to be 29.
I will say we're probably not. So the both of us don't really have a good way to kind of look at it from a different standpoint, because both of us are of the mind that clothing doesn't really have gender and anyone should be able to wear whatever they feel comfortable in. So our mindset isn't, we can't see from the other side very well, because I can't and you can't justifiably ever say how someone would respond in that situation the way that the family did, because we don't see the reason behind it and we can't see a justifiable way for someone to say this is okay to respond this way. And it's if the response is, well, that's just what they know, it's like, well, it's 2024. Open your eyes and get to know something better, because clothing doesn't have to have gender.
Yeah.
Anyone can wear whatever they want. If they're comfortable in a dress and they would rather wear a dress and they identify as a male, then it's their dress. If they bought it, it's theirs. If they want to wear it, they should be able to wear it. Leave them alone. Get over it. It's not your comfort is not someone else's responsibility, and your willingness to accept the way that someone else dresses isn't that person's responsibility. That's yours. And if you don't like it, then you should leave. Remove yourself from the situation.
It's for me, being part of, you know, the LGBTQ plus community, it's really shitty for somebody to support you behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Essentially, and then turn around and essentially throw you under the bus.
I don't think that.
I feel like, because her family then started sending horrible messages to the brother.
Yeah.
Because she lied and could not own up to the fact that she went dress shopping with him. She was excited for him to wear that dress, that she was okay with it. And the fact that she's still not talking to her gay brother, like, even though, like, obviously she's okay with, quote unquote, okay with it, the fact that she's still willing to, like, ostracize her homosexual sibling, all of that, to me, no, absolutely not. That's a huge red flag. That's a stop sign for me. You cannot support me behind closed doors and then in public act like that. That's bullshit. And nobody deserves to go through that, because it's the worst fucking feeling in the world.
Yeah, I would say kind of be aware and cognizant of the whole working it out thing with her and figure it out. And if she does, it doesn't look like she's putting in the work, like, maybe even say, would you like to try and bridge the relationship with your brother? And maybe that's a way that we can kind of work through this as well as our new family. Cause yeah, that is weird that you would lie about it. I don't understand that. I mean, I kind of do, but I kind of don't. I understand it because he doesn't know, like, how he didn't know that portion of her family and the way that they kind of ridiculed her whenever she would talk to her gay brother. But then again, it's like, she knew about it, and she knew that they would probably respond like that. So why didn't she ask him not to wear the dress? I'm not saying it's okay, but if she knew that it was going to be an issue, why wouldn't she have said it to the boyfriend or the fiance at the time? Why wouldn't she have said something and be like, hey, my family is this way. I've seen this in our family where they've responded to my gay brother like this. So it might happen if your brother comes in a dress. That doesn't make sense to me. And it kind of now that I think about it more, it is weird. And it's like, why wouldn't you say something if you know that that's how your parents treat your gay brother and there's a possibility that that's how they're going to react? Then you should say something and at least warn your future brother-in-law, like, hey, I love it. I think you look great. And maybe wear it to the reception and wear the suit to the ceremony. I don't know. I think it's weird. It is a little disrespectful. And I think, yeah, there are a few messages that say kind of wear, tread lightly and pay attention to like how things go in the future. Cause if she's lying this much at like this early in the relationship, then what can happen later?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So the next one is also on our advice. Well, the first one was, am I the asshole? Would I be the asshole public? And then this one is our advice. And it's called, I don't want to call it yet. Hi, I need advice regarding my husband and I's relationship. We are both 29 and have been married for 4 years. That's too young. And together since 19. Again, still too young. Together, we have a two-year-old daughter. The last 6 months, we have been arguing a lot. Expenses have even damn near impossible to afford. It's hard to read. We work our asses off, but struggle at the end. So much so that he would rant that his check is what's keeping the mortgage up to date. It is stressful for him and myself. At the end of every day, we try our best to be happy, but it's hard to be. Furthermore, we lost some ability to communicate. We scream at each other and it's unhealthy for both of us. We hate it for our daughter and for us. The talk of divorce has come up. I mentioned it first. He was accepting of the idea. We agreed on the stuff we'd want that we won't leave. Ugh, I'm starting that over. Talk of divorce has come up. I mentioned it first. He was accepting of the idea. We agreed on the stuff that we'd want that won't leave anyone feeling cheated. In the meantime, for the last week, we are taking a break. He is staying at a hotel and let me stay at the house, which I did not want, but was grateful for. He's come to see our daughter every day. He was here for a few hours and just left. This break has really put into context that I'm not ready to call it yet. I want our daughter to have a father figure there with her every step of the way before the break. Although we would argue and scream our brains out, we made peace at the end of every day. We slept together, not saying anything sexual took place, but we never slept separately. I feel comforted by him. The house feels empty without him. My daughter seems out of place whenever he isn't around. I normally have no trouble making decisions, but I'm lost this time. None of this is solely on him, and none of this is solely on me, but it's both of us. Please help me try and come to a realization. Anything could help. Edit to clarify, we are both very, 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 very Italian and from Italian generations. Our parents taught us that fighting or arguing is to be expected, but at the end of the day, no one should sleep separately and should always sleep together. We both stand deeply by this. The break is abnormal for us, but we felt it was necessary. This is difficult.
It is. And like, actually, I've kind of been there when I was going through like leaving my husband. It's real difficult, especially because like, obviously you still care about the person, but at the same time, recognizing that like, this is unhealthy, which is great. That's fantastic. Yeah. It's important to recognize how unhealthy that is, but...
I mean, my thing would be, if you think the break is helping, maybe it's something that every like month or so, one of you will go and like stay with a relative or stay somewhere for a week to kind of, until you get kind of past these issues that you're running into. Because finances, especially if it's finances, it sucks. And it can especially damage a relationship when there are so many issues and everybody's like, you're working so hard to keep up to date. Is she working? She has a job. Job, right?
Yeah.
They're both working.
It just sounds like things are really bad right now. And economically, things are really bad right now.
Yeah. And I mean, you just had a, I mean, your child is 2 years old, so you basically just had a child. So those expenses are crazy as well. It sucks. And if you are still, you and your husband are still kind of working, okay with working on the relationship, then it makes sense to work on it together and kind of come up with a way to express the disappointment or the issues that you're running into that are a little bit more healthy, and a way that can kind of help explain. So like, explain why you're mad, explain why you're annoyed, explain what's going on. I get you're Italian and that's just the way the Italian people are, but you are in control of your own actions. So the way that you respond to something is completely up to you. Mm-hmm. So think about how you're responding. And I think if you are both kind of in the same mind, you have to be in it for the right reasons. And if it's just because you want your daughter to have her father, then that's not a good enough reason. I do kind of think the way that she's talking and she's saying it doesn't, she's comforted, she likes him being around, the house feels empty without him, and her daughter seems out of place. It kind of makes sense that she kind of, it doesn't sound like she does want to give up yet. So give it like a trial period and see if anything does improve. And if you both are putting in the work then, and it is working out, then I say keep going. Marriage is hard. I've never been married and I don't ever want to be married, but
marriage is hard, but it's just as hard as any other relationship though, in that you have to put in the work. Like that's a thing that a lot of people don't do. A lot of people don't realize that it's not all fun all the time. Sometimes there's shitty things and you have to put in the work, not just towards the relationship, but you have to put in the work towards yourself as well.
Yeah.
I think it sounds like to me that their biggest issue right now is finances and not actually like a deeper issue in the relationship. And it sounds like if they were able to get their financial situation under control, that it's possible that they wouldn't even be having as many issues as they are right now. Yeah. It's entirely possible that they're both just so extremely stressed because of the financial situation that they're just taking it out on each other.
Yeah. And I mean, that might maybe, I know it's like expensive to do, but see a financial advisor and see like, what are some things, maybe sell the house and move into a smaller house, or rent is kind of insane right now too.
But you know, it's quite possible that they just need to take another look at their budget.
Yeah.
And see what they can cut out and what can be altered and go from there.
Yes.
Right, I keep disappearing because it's getting dark.
Do you not have lights in that house?
I do. That means I have to get up.
Oh, I don't have to. I have it on my phone where I can control it and turn it off and on.
Oh, no, I don't have that. All right, there we go. Anyway, all right. The next one, our last one, was posted a day ago. And it says, is this cheating? So let's get prepared for that.
Yeah.
Me, 33 female, my partner, 33 male, together for 5 years. My partner went out with a mate he hadn't seen in years and went to his house. While there, he ran into a chick he knew from years ago. He went back to hers and stayed the night. At the time, I didn't know he was even out. I messaged him as I usually do and called and had no response for hours until I decided to call again, and this girl answered his phone. She told me to leave him alone and F off, and I was a shit girlfriend to him. When he finally messaged me, he made it out like he didn't know where he was and he was asleep, but she told me different. So I will never know the real story. He continued to stay at this girl's house for days. They got naked together and got on stuff. He had FaceTimed me for the next few days, but only for a little bit, thinking if he was on the phone, it wouldn't be so bad. I know for a fact if the shoe was on the other foot, he would go nuts. Now I believe things 100% happened, but he denies it, yet he doesn't remember most things that even happened. So if you don't remember, how can you be sure nothing sexual happened? And to make it even worse, this is a girl he's had sexual encounters with before, with cheating on a previous girlfriend with this girl. Ever since then, I have almost gone numb and don't know what to believe. Trust is gone, but I still love him and cannot figure out why someone would do something so wrong and make you question everything and the love. What can I do to move forward? Break up with him.
Yeah.
Like,
this is an easy one. Move
this
on.
This is an easy one. She answered the phone, told you to fuck off, and that you were a shit girlfriend to him.
Like, how would she know that if he wasn't talking bad about you?
Exactly. Like, and if this is a girl that he's cheated on previous girlfriends with.
And it sounds like, what does he mean by he doesn't know what's going on? It sounds like he has some issues and might need to go to rehab or something, because like, right, either he's drinking all the time, the entire time he's there, or he's into drugs and heavy drugs so that he doesn't know what he's doing. So it's like, what do you mean? If he's been there for days, for a few days,
Yeah.
And he's been staying at her house. I think he's already moved on, girl.
Right? I'm just,
like, I have the thing where I get love is love. And people, like, if you love someone and have deep feeling for that, it's going to hurt to break things off. But you're breaking things off for a reason. And you have to look at it this way. You may love him, but does he reciprocate that love? And if the answer is no, based on the actions that he's going through and doing right now, it sounds like the answer is no, then it's time for you to move on and get over him. Because it doesn't seem like he's the type of person that is going to be there for the type of relationship that it sounds like you would rather have.
Yeah. I'm just like
someone said you should leave him. Spot on. Perfectly aligned with the advice she was requesting and helpful. I mean, yeah, it is. You should leave him.
Yes.
That's the advice. That's what she was asking.
The comment that he's reading is in response to another one that said, you should leave him, but let's be completely honest. Nothing anyone can say here will make you do that. So enjoy the damaged and broken life he inevitably leaves you with, which is real fucking shitty to say. And then they tried to sum it up differently and were like, or it was the countless posts like this that blatantly display extreme disrespect towards the OP from their partner, yet they need to ask Reddit. These posts are always the same, a blatant relationship ending issue that they somehow need Reddit to decipher for them. These people need to be made aware of their behavior. They aren't going to leave them. If they were, they wouldn't need Reddit to work out why you should break up with someone that stays with another woman naked for days on end. But sure, it's my dislike for women, of course. I think that takes it, that doesn't even take into account, like, first of all, it's difficult. I've been there. I've been cheated on multiple times. And it's hard because you care about that person and you want to believe the best about that person. And so sometimes you do get into this mindset of, well, I have to make it work because I love them. So that means I should make it work.
Yeah.
And recognizing that, but then also recognizing a couple of other things related to societal misogyny, which are, she's 33. Society dictates that a woman is old after 25. She is considered worthless to society after 25. Because then you start getting older and you start showing that you're getting older. And so when you're in your mid-30s, as a woman, you get a lot of men who tell you that, you know, you're not good for anything because you're in your 30s. Like, you know, time's running out to have babies, which is really all that women are worth, you know, in society. So there's a lot of societal pressure on women to have an established relationship and, you know, be settled in their 30s.
Yeah.
So you have to look at that as well.
I do like this person's response. Go on holiday. Tell him you met someone and had the best sex of your life and that he is useless in bed. Then tell him to fuck off because you're off to a swingers club.
I like that one.
I mean, yeah, it kind of sucks. And I'm sure these posts are constant on Reddit, but it's like, why are you, if you are tired of seeing these posts on Reddit, it's you're clicking on them and reading through them and responding to them. So Reddit is going to say, the algorithm that Reddit has is going to say, oh, you like this, so let me serve you some more. Even though you don't like it, then, like, if you don't like it, then mark it as not interested. That's something that you can do on Reddit and they won't show you.
Exactly.
Like, it won't hide, or like, if you don't like it, then click that you don't like it and move on.
Yeah. Like, don't come in here and be an asshole to somebody who's already struggling. Because, like, the other thing too is, like, you get into this, this happened with me with Donnie, because I was with Donnie. Donnie and I got together when we were 19. We were married at 22. And we had only been married for 4.5 years when I called it quits. But we had been together for, you know, 7.5 years when I was just like, all right, this is it. And you get into this mindset of time, the amount of time you've spent on this, and it feels like a waste. It's not a waste. That's something you kind of have to learn, is like, it's that time is not a waste. You did learn things, you had good experiences, you know, you had bad experiences, you had, you know, what have you. It wasn't a waste of time. time. But it can feel like that when you're like, man, we've been together for 5 years and this is how it's all going down. And wow, what a waste of my time. What a waste of my effort. What a waste of my XYZ. So then you start trying to find reasons for it not to be a waste of your time. And like, I think that's literally where she is right now, is that, you know, she's like, I still love him. And it's just like, yeah, you love him, but you're also looking at the fact that, you know, that this is 5 years and it's scary having to start over. It's scary leaving somebody that you've been with for a long time.
Yeah. I think the thing that people have to look at when they're reading through Reddit and they're seeing all these posts is I'm looking at some facts about Reddit. In 2023, there was an estimated 469 million posts that were published to Reddit. And of those posts, a majority of them, let me double check. Let me go back up. Over 600,000 or 600 million people from the United States visit. So the United States, by a massive margin, is the most active on Reddit. And you're seeing over 400 million posts. So you're going to see a lot of them. So that's one thing to remember, is there's over 400 million people posting, and of those there's also 2.84 billion comments posted on Reddit. So you're going to see a bunch of people commenting on them as well. So yeah, be careful what you're posting and be careful what you're reading, and if you don't like it, then don't interact with it. And guess what, it probably won't be served to you. That's how an algorithm works.
Also, don't just be an asshole for the sake of being an asshole. Like, yeah, look at all the different things that could be playing a part in this. Not just coming on and being like, well, you're not going to leave him anyway, so enjoy your broken life. That's fucking shitty as fuck. Yeah. And also coming from somebody whose username is Randy's Moist Butthole. Literally his username.
Oh God.
Like,
well, dox that person, Sarah. Jeez.
Take a step back, dude. Your name is literally Randy's Moist Butthole.
That's funny. Okay? I mean I think the thing, and this goes for like all social media, it's like, if is it actually value added for you to respond and say something to that? If the answer is no, then probably don't do it. Otherwise, what did you gain from it?
Right. Like, what are you getting out of acting that way? I don't understand, but whatever.
Well, anyway, do you have anything going on this weekend?
Not really. I'm going to be driving for Uber Eats all weekend. Just trying to make some extra money so that I can pay my bills that are coming up this next week. Yeah. And that's about it. What about you? I'm mid yawn.
Yeah. I don't really have anything planned. I have to edit this podcast, and then Ryan and I always go on Sunday to find lunch or something somewhere. Other than that, I before we started, I was eating and then watching Charmed on Peacock.
Nice. I'm rewatching Bridgerton because I'm preparing.
I've never seen it.
Season. It, friend, it's not your jam.
I wouldn't think so.
It's not your shtick, and that's okay. But
what is my shtick, Sarah? Tell everyone. Tell everyone what you think my shtick is.
Okay. Well,
it's also a weird word. Also, shtick.
I was like, why are you saying it that way? It sounds like unnecessarily sexual when you say it.
Ooh, shticky.
Anyway, you are very much a horror movie person. You're very much a what's the term I'm looking for? You know, you're very much into like drag queens and things like that, but
gay. That's the word you're looking for, Sarah. Gay.
Yes, but you're gay in a different way than I am gay. See, I'm gay in the I love watching little romance things. And it's taken me years actually to own up to that I just love romance. I think romance is fun. I think it's interesting. I like the idea of two people falling in love and, you know, all the different ways that we love each other. And it took years for me to be like, no, that's something I enjoy. And you're making a face, and that's why I'm telling you it's not your thing. It's not in your wheelhouse. It's
definitely not. Although one of my all-time favorite movies is Ever After.
That's fair, but Ever After has a lot more to it than just
it's an amazing movie. I love that movie.
It is an amazing movie.
I might actually have to watch that.
I was gonna say, I started watching that and I don't think I ever finished watching it. Like, I've seen it before obviously, but I was doing a rewatch and I think I got distracted and didn't finish. But anyway, so my plans include preparing for the new Bridgerton season, which is coming out next month, and I am enjoying every moment of the ooey gooey romancy bullshit. So,
gross.
Yep.
Gross.
You know, I said it wasn't your thing.
I know. And it's not. You're right. I would rather see. I mean, well, I liked watching Pride, Prejudice and Zombies.
I have not seen Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
It's not a good movie, but it's fun.
You know what? And sometimes that's all that matters. There's a lot of movies that I like that aren't good movies, but I enjoyed them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, ready to call it a podcast?
Yeah, I think we can call it a podcast.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. If you like this episode, please give us a like, a comment, and don't forget to follow and subscribe. If you'd like to leave us... Ooh, yeah, that sucked. If you'd like to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, this will help get us out to more people and help us grow. And then I'm going to restart because this is going off the rails.
We are always off the rails, though.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. If you would like this, oh my Jesus world.
Oh my Jesus world. Okay, that's a new one.
I need to go to sleep.
Sounds like it.
Which is weird because I got a lot of sleep last night. It's not bedtime for James. I usually don't go to bed until like 1 a.m.
That's why I said early bedtime for James.
Oh. All right, starting over for the third time now.
Once more with feeling.
Oh, I loved that show. All right. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. If you like this episode, please give us a like, a comment, and don't forget to follow and subscribe. If you'd like to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, this will help us get the podcast out to more people and help us grow. Feel free to follow us on social media. Our handle everywhere is at Now About That Pod. So if we don't come up in the search, then we are not on that platform. If there is something specific you would like us to discuss on the podcast, feel free to email us at nowaboutthatpod@gmail.com. Visit our website, www.nowaboutthatproductions.com. You can also call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text message with any questions you would like us to answer or topics you would like us to discuss on the podcast. Our phone number again is 765-557-4170. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great week since this will be coming out on Monday. And Sarah, enjoy your weekend.
You too.
Also, send us an email. Let us know if you would like a sweatshirt, yes. And what size. I have large, extra large, 2X, and 3X. So if you are one of those sizes and you would like a sweatshirt, let us know and I will send one to you.
Love that.
Sarah, have a great weekend.
You too.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.